You know, we can really give thanks for our earthly fathers. I had a wonderful dad. He's been passed away about 20-something years ago now. But his teaching and his example, you know, that's guided me right through. But, you know, not everyone has a loving earthly father. It's quite some heartaches when you hear stories of people's families and fathers, and you know how the father did let the family down. But you know, the good news is we have a loving heavenly father. Everyone has a loving heavenly father. All I have to do is acknowledge him. He does not let us down. He is loving, protective, caring Father. Today I just want to share just how much the Lord cares for us. We may feel loved in our family and have a loving father, but the very real situation is to understand how much we are really loved by our Heavenly Father. As we reflect on the love and provision of our Heavenly Father, it gives us an insight of how we as earthly parents should care for our children. You know, we'll fall short. As you reflect after your children's grown up, you often think, oh, I wish I had have done that, this or that or something else, and I shouldn't have done this. But you do the best you can with the wisdom you've got at the time. And love covers a multitude of sins. You know, when our children fall short, the parents fall short, but then there's got to be forgiveness. And that's what families are all about. We are his children. A child looks to their father for protection and a safe haven in a loving environment which provides for their needs. Such an environment is one of peace with lack of anxiety or fear. You know, it's interesting as we read through Scripture just how many times the words fear not or don't be afraid. We're told over and over again not to be afraid, not to fear. So that means the Lord understands our fears. He understands our anxieties. You know, there's different types of fears. The main fear is our fear of God. You know, this is a healthy fear, a necessary fear. Proverbs 1:7, we read, "The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." And in Job 28:28, and he said to man, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding." So we must have a healthy fear of God. He is our mighty creator and our sustainer. But it's not a frightening fear, but a reverent fear, one that honours the Lord. And this is wisdom. Because without the fear of God, we cannot have wisdom. You know, there's many other fears. you talk to different people and one's frightened of this, another one fears that, and everybody's fears are very real to them. And when you hear some of the things that people are frightened of, you think, oh, that's a bit strange. But then everyone has their own fears. But again and again, the Lord says, fear not, don't be afraid. You know, when the Lord sent a message to people in the scripture, or sent his angel to say something to prophets or people, the first thing they said was, fear not, don't be afraid. Because they must have thought something awesome was going to happen, and they were really frightened. And that was always the reassurance before a message or a direction was given. You know, as we read through scripture, we have to remember that the Lord changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'd like sharing with you the special blessings of a lovely, loving Heavenly Father. When we read through scripture, the way the Lord spoke to or treated or directed our forefathers, the Lord changes not. So the same things apply to us, the same loving care, the same protection. It's for us as well as those that the Lord spoke to. In Genesis 26:24, we read, that night the Lord appeared to him, the Lord was speaking to Isaac, and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. You know, we're the sons and daughters of Abraham. How many people remember back in Sunday school when we sat up there singing, Father Abraham had many sons, and we're one of them, sons and daughters of Abraham. You are one of them, and so am I. These words are for us too. The Lord is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. So we must rest in these words and not be afraid of the future. He supplies our needs also. First Kings chapter 17, we read the story of part of the prophet Elijah's life. You know, there was a severe drought in the land, and the prophet Elijah told Ahab, the wicked king, that there would be no rain or dew for several years except by his word. Of course, that was a brave thing to tell the king, and Elijah feared for his life. So the Lord told him to go to a certain brook where he could drink from it, and the Lord arranged for the ravens to feed Elijah. They brought meat and bread in the morning, and meat and bread in the night. Can you imagine that? You know, I often wonder whether the meat was cooked. And ravens are supposed to be not very hygienic creatures, so, you know. But God provided, and, you know, others say that the ravens were just images. But anyway, Elijah was fed and he was safe. And the Lord looked after him. They said it was up to a year he was there. But then, as we read from verse 7, sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that is Elijah, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar that I may drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. The widow replied, as surely as your God lives, I don't have any bread. All she had was a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it, and then because of the famine, that was all she had, and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make me a small cake of bread from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for you and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. The jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. I think this is a wonderful story, a story of the Lord's provision. My grandmother used to tell me stories of the Lord's amazing provision during the Depression years. You know, our country, our town, we really lack nothing. I mean, we have some difficulties, but generally, you know, everyone is provided for. But, you know, in the Depression days, you know, a lot of people did not know where their next meal was coming from. Also, sometimes our budget isn't quite balancing, and an unexpected source provides just what we need at just the right time. The Lord's provision is amazing. I'd just like to share on a personal note an experience our family had with the Lord's provision. When our eldest child was just 3 months old, Don hurt his back at work. The work cover insurance said it was an old injury and would not pay anything. Centrelink said that work cover should pay, and so they wouldn't pay us anything. This went on for 6 months. We had no income whatsoever, and the bills were piling up. The cupboard was bare, and things were getting really serious. It's times like these that you just have to depend on the Lord. There's nowhere else to turn. The only thing in the cupboard was a packet of split peas, hence the family joke. If things are bad, we just have to split the split peas again. Time and time again, the Lord's provision turned up just in time. There were people bringing food and clothing and helping us with money. The most difficult thing I found was swallowing my pride and accepting the help. You know, it's easy to give, but sometimes it's hard to accept help back again. What a wonderful Heavenly Father we have. He truly does supply our needs. We just have to place our needs at His feet, not our wants, our needs. And He will meet them. You know, our loving Heavenly Father gives us strength in weakness. In Isaiah 41:10, we read, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Also the very well-known verse, Isaiah 40:31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." When the pressures of work, home, family just seem too much, that's when we need to sit down quietly and reflect on these verses. You know, they've sustained multitudes over the ages. The next part of our loving Father's help for us is companionship in trial. Isaiah 43:1-3, we read, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine." We are His. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. This is our Heavenly Father speaking. We're never told that we won't go through difficulties, but He assures us that when we do, He will be with us. Whether our problems are just knee-deep in water or we're going through a rushing river, the waters of a rushing river, He will help us through. Sometimes when we're going through the fires of life, we wonder if we will make it through. Be assured the Lord is with us all the way. Another precious part of our Father's love is overshadowing us with care. Matthew 10:28-31, this is Jesus speaking. "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered." Our Heavenly Father is concerned for us and aware of our circumstances. He is aware of the death of a sparrow, which is worth so little. You know, two sparrows were sold for a penny, which is worth about 1/16 of a Roman denarius, I read. A denarius is about a day's wages. God the Father also knows the number of hairs on a person's head. The apostles were instructed not to fear, for they, being far more valuable to God than sparrows, were seen and known by Him. Have you ever sat in a garden and watched the sparrows darting around? They're quite fascinating to watch. They pick up a bit here and dart there and dart somewhere else. I often think, you know, God's looking at them and God knows that where they are and what they're doing. And so surely if He bothers with a sparrow, how much more does He care about us? It really does your heart good if you really reflect on this. You know, there's many, many other blessings. I've just touched on a few today. The last one I have is... like Neville was speaking about this morning, the joy There's joy on this earth and there's joy in death. He has a plan for us and cares for us beyond the grave. Revelation 1:17-18, this is John speaking. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." That is Jesus. Like a dead person. You know, when people were confronted with the Lord, often they just fell to the ground in fear and perhaps reverence. And that's repeated quite a few times. But again, in that verse we hear, do not be afraid. You know, we must not fear death. We have to remember that Jesus has the keys to death and Hades. And the keys represent authority. Jesus has the last say. You know, again and again, do not be afraid. It's a common greeting throughout all Scripture. If we can just rest in him and not be afraid. Jesus was obedient to his Father in giving freely of his life. He was the final sacrifice to cover our sins. He died on that cruel cross in our place. Now he sits at the Father's right hand. He has the keys to eternity. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So we are told, fear not, even in death. So to summarise, we need to fear God, our Heavenly Father. Fear him, thank him, honour him. And not be afraid. For your Heavenly Father cares for every part of your life. He gives you blessings in the journey of life. He supplies our needs. He gives us strength in our weakness. He gives us companionship. He's close by us in our trials. And there's an overshadowing care. He's looking after us like he's looking after the sparrows. And there's life beyond the grave. What a wonderful Heavenly Father we have.